740 KVOR.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Richard Randall Show. Headlines in the Gazette: rocked by pandemic, public health faces needed rebuild. Jury for Stout scheduled to begin. God. What a horrible case that is. March Madness up in Denver, and Colorado Springs banks assured stability even with unrealized losses. The sidebar is going for gold. Springs runoff from Rivers have got anglers all excited. Microsoft adds AI to chatbot. In the business section, something interesting. Tesla turns Twitter into a PR apparatus. Elon Musk, the best thing that ever happened to Twitter, probably to the media, certainly social media, probably to the media, and he is one of the top five most important people in the world, not just the country right now, but in the world. Denver Post, culture is alive and well. At least 200 tribal nations now call the metro area home. There's a big powwow up in Denver every March. I've been up to it several times. It's really cool. It's really cool. It is a place where you go to watch the dancing and all the rest. I also always make a point of asking all the people up there what the problems are on the reservations and how concerned they were about naming. It's like Braves or Indians or Redskins. And the answer is not concerned at all. I don't remember a single person up there telling me they were concerned about that. They're concerned about alcohol and abuse and drugs and gangs and all those kinds of things. There was a tribal member at Mesa Verde at the Visitor Center, a 19-year-old Navajo girl who said she was very concerned about that. Only person I've talked to who is actually Native American. Before collapse, Fed saw issues. Really? Then why don't you do something about it? 2021 review found serious weaknesses, but bank failed to fix its vulnerabilities. Because you were out, what, tracking everybody who happened to be in Washington on January 6th? Or you're tracking down a pro-life activist and his family, showing up with SWAT guns and all the rest, going down to this BS nonsense raid at Mar-a-Lago? Boy, you guys were busy. But keeping an eye on what was going on with the banks, it may have been telling that a couple of weeks before the whole damn thing fell through, you have one of the officials who's selling off millions of dollars. Huh. Do you suppose he saw something coming? Do you suppose maybe there are a couple of freaking red flags there for what people really care about? Gosh almighty. Colorado nonprofit hospitals bill would require more to be spent on community benefit, and Russia's Putin makes surprise trip to occupied Mariupol. And then we've got Putin and China now collaborating more than ever before. Way to go. Way to go, Joe Biden, because I'll tell you what we needed. We needed to take two of the other major superpowers in the world, and they're not even on a par with us. But we had them isolated where they weren't working with each other. They weren't working against each other like they were a couple of decades ago, where they were actually fighting, shooting across rivers and islands back and forth along their border between China and Russia. Wasn't that bad. But now we got them working together in Ukraine and then eventually in Taiwan. Way to go. Way to go, all you Trump-hating Democrats. I'm in a mood today. Do I want to see tomorrow? You want to see this? You want to see President Trump led out of an office in handcuffs somewhere? Bet they don't do that. No, I'm not saying bet they don't try to charge him or prosecute him or indict him or arrest him. I'm saying I'll bet they don't give you a photo op of a president of the United States, one of the most popular presidents of the United States, walking out in handcuffs. We'll be talking about that. Look, this goes back all the way to Stormy Daniels. I mean, when this first popped up on my radar a couple of days ago, and then again over the weekend, I'm like, what now? Well, they call it the zombie case because it just keeps coming back to life. And it's the whole Stormy Daniels thing, which gives, you should be, and it doesn't matter if you're a male or female, you should be saying ooh right now, because Stormy Daniels, geez, come on, Trump. I mean, for God's sakes, I'm not saying you did, I'm not saying you didn't, but I am saying if you did, for God's sakes, you had a Playboy model, this McDougal, I think her name was, woman that you had, gosh, people like you have women throwing themselves at you over and over and over again, and you have this chubby, skanky Stormy Daniels woman involved in any aspect of your life? If anybody wanted to just go on television and run against Trump or be in an anchor's chair and go against Trump and say, you know what, it's a question of judgment. I mean, this man, we're going to trust him with a judgment when it comes to nuclear codes or what goes on when China invades Taiwan or what's going on with Ukraine. Could I give you exhibit number one? This woman right here. Yeah, that's the one right there. But in any event, what do we have? We have a prosecutor. He's not a federal prosecutor. He is a prosecutor out of Manhattan. It's a state prosecutor who's gone all the way back to 2006, when apparently, if in fact this liaison did take place, because there is so much BS out there, I just don't know what to believe anymore. But if it's true, goes back to 2006. Guy's name is Alvin Bragg, Manhattan prosecutor. And he wants to go all over this again. Let me give you a little bit of the rundown here. So you have allegations in the run-up to the election that Donald Trump at some point had an affair with Stormy Daniels. This is a gold digger in the classic sense who wants to make money. How do you make money? Well, you say you're going to tell your story and ruin somebody's career unless you get a payment. Allegation is that there was hush money, $130,000 that was paid by Michael Cohen, who was one of Trump's attorneys. Trump himself made no payment whatsoever. Oh, hold on, Richard. Michael Cohen makes a payment to her for her to keep quiet, though she didn't. And then later on, Trump wrote some checks out to Michael Cohen. And we don't know what those checks are for. It doesn't say on the check, hush money for Stormy Daniels. Stormy Daniels money for goofing around with her, including out at the hotel out there in California that was the basis for the Hotel California. It's just a check to Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen's done everything he could to save his butt. And they're not stupid. They charge him because they know if they squeeze him, they get him to squeal like a pig. And they can even, this actually happens sometimes. Sometimes when you pressure people so badly like that and they have to worry about being in prison with Bubba, they start deciding not only will they tell the truth, they will tell you whatever the heck you want to hear. Could be as early as tomorrow. President Trump in cuffs, and he says protest. What does that mean? Mainstream media says that means civil war. What are you talking about? Civil war. We're going to have a civil war in the United States of America. Hold on to that thought. We'll be right back. All right, so let's go back to 2006. And let's, for the sake of argument, this is for the sake of argument. That's what attorneys say all the time, because it's a hypothetical, because we don't know the proof of this. President Trump to this day denies that he had a relationship with Stormy Daniels. She is such a skank. I would love to believe President Trump on this issue, because I would think less of him if he did have an affair with her. In any event, and generally, and I normally don't talk about this stuff. I've always said before, I don't care whether it's a local politician, whether it's a presidential candidate, whatever. Stuff like that is between them, their spouse, the third party that was involved, and their God. And I don't care to know about all the gory details of any of this. Only reason I mention this is because it's a situation where you have a Soros-backed prosecutor in Manhattan who's looking to make himself famous and looking to do anything he can to keep Trump from being president or running for president, except there's a problem. The case we're talking about, and it involves the potential of Trump telling Michael Cohen, one of his attorneys, hey, look, make this thing go away. Mr. President, I might have to pay some money. Just make it go away. Make it go away. Makes it go away about $130,000, they say, hush money. And then later on, Trump is writing checks to his attorney, not in that exact amount, but a different amount. Enough that would pay for $130,000. But nowhere does Trump ever say, hey, this is hush money for Stormy Daniels, right? A lot of this information is coming from a former advisor to Michael Cohen who's just telling the truth. And the truth is, you got a prosecutor who's trying to make a name for himself and bring down a president. And that's why this is a zombie case going all the way back to 2006. Look as I might, I could not find why there was not a statute of limitations violation on this. It's a misdemeanor. if he's found guilty of whatever this grand jury is talking about here, if it's this Stormy Daniels thing, it's a misdemeanor. It is not a felony. He's trying to raise it to a felony, but here we are 6.5 years later, and what he's trying to do is say, well, it's an unreported campaign donation, and that rises it to a felony. I haven't seen anywhere, even on the liberal sites, I haven't seen anywhere where people are going, oh, yeah, that's right. Remember that case 10 years ago where they did exactly that? No, this is a new idea this guy has concocted. And like I said, he's a Soros-backed guy, falsification records, repaying Cohen. That's what they're saying. That is a minor offense, if in fact it is offense, and it will not stop him from running or serving if elected. That's the key thing. Everything I'm seeing says, even if this is all true, it's not going to keep him from running. Now, shift gears here a little bit. You know how much how highly I think of Elon Musk. In fact, I'm going to save that for the next hour. Let me give you what President Trump had to say. This is a statement from Saturday. Trump campaign statement on Manhattan DA's witch hunt. President Donald J. Trump is completely innocent. He did nothing wrong, and even the biggest, most radical left Democrats are making that clear. From Russia, 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 to the Mueller hoax, to the impeachment hoaxes one and two, and even the unlawful Mar-a-Lago raid, Democrats have investigated and attacked President Trump before he was elected, and they've failed every time. Now Democrats are at it again, pushing the nuclear button and attacking a president because of a disgraced extortionist, and that would be the reference to Stormy Daniels as the disgraced extortionist. This is happening because President Trump is leading in the polls by a large margin against both Democrats and Republicans. There's never been anything so blatant in American history. If the Democrats can do this to President Trump, they can do it to you. Stop headline right there. Put it in neon. Get your marker out, and if you're a liberal and you hate President Trump, flip it around and wait until, if ever there is again, the deep state would ever allow it again, a Republican who sits in the White House with Republican prosecutors all over the place and Republicans controlling the House and the Senate, and all of a sudden along comes Michelle Obama comes along. She wants to run for president because she could be a pretty good contender. And now all of a sudden we start filing charges against her. Russiagate over here, this hoax over there, hush money over here, lied about her background over here, all of that. Would you say, oh, well, that's okay now? You can't wait till it applies to you to start deciding that it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing right now. Looks like a third world country. That's what it looks like. That's the kind of stuff that goes on there. The latest witch hunt is being brought to you by a George Soros-backed radical left Democrat prosecutor, Alvin Bragg. Bragg has made political donations to fellow Democrats like Raphael Warnock. He's the guy from down there in Georgia. And now Bragg is making a political donation of a different kind to Joe Biden. I think that's fair enough to say. In fact, the Department of Justice stocked the DA's office with top people from D.C. to help get Trump at a local level. Americans will not tolerate radical left Democrats turning our justice system into an injustice system to influence a presidential election, which is all they want to do. Our country is not going to let this happen. This will backfire massively for the Democrat Party and in disgrace for our nation. So will it backfire? That's my question for you this morning is, do you think that backfires? Or do you think finally, at long last, people are going to say, oh, now we finally caught the evil Donald Trump and see, we knew he was up to something all the while. I'm looking at videotape pretty much the entire weekend. Didn't feel all that great, but I'm watching videotape all weekend. I'm watching the Sebring 1,000 kilometers and then the Sebring 12 hours. I intersperse that, but mostly I'm watching congressional testimony. And mostly I'm watching congressional testimony from either COVID doctors or from Ray, the head of the FBI, or from Merrick Garland. And let me tell you something. Merrick Garland and Ray ought to be working on something other than all of the stuff they're goofing off on. I didn't even realize this. You have Christopher Ray. He's in this congressional testimony. They're supposed to do it in two parts. in the middle of the hearing, he says, well, you know what? I'm going to have to leave. I've got a meeting. I've got to catch a plane, and I won't be able to do the second portion of this. Okay. This is Josh Hawley talking to him later on. Oh, that plane was a Gulfstream private jet that you were using, an FBI Gulfstream private jet that we're using to fly from here out to somewhere like in the Poconos or something for a vacation with your family. That's why you blew off Congress. Well, I'm required to fly on an FBI plane. That was one that was purchased for drug interdiction and stuff like that. Well, I'm required to fly on an FBI plane. Are you required to, in the middle of congressional hearings, say, hey, I'm out of here so I can use that plane to fly to go meet my family? That's the kind of people we're dealing with. And Merrick Garland goes through this whole charade of Mar-a-Lago, and there's no nuclear codes there. There's nothing there. While he completely ignores Joe Biden, God only knows what Obama and the rest of the people have. At some point, the American public is going to be smart enough to say, what the hell? Could we have one level of justice in this country? J6 people are treated just like the Antifa and Black Lives Matter people. I'll be back after this.
Opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not reflect those of KVOR, Cumulus Media, or its advertisers. Richard Randall is on Colorado's 740 KVOR.
We're going to be talking about national politics, local politics. Nationally, we are talking about President Trump, about this prosecutor out of Manhattan. He's not a federal prosecutor. Keep that in mind. They are nominated. That is what John Southers was when he was up in Denver. He's a federal prosecutor. They're nominated. They go through a process of vetting James Comey. Same thing. And in fact, I think it was the same Manhattan district as this guy. I could be wrong on that. But in any event, this guy... I take it back because he's not a federal prosecutor. This guy is a local prosecutor, and they are elected any more than our DAs are elected here. His name's Alvin Bragg, though. And if you're just joining us, the short version is the allegations go back to 2006 and that President Trump may have had an affair with a woman named Stormy Daniels, who is at least a stripper, if not a porn star. I really don't know. Don't care to, you know, look up and try to find photos or video of somebody like that. I've referred to her in a derogatory term, I guess, because I think she is. And she's an extortionist and apparently was in a position where she wanted to tell her story so that she could either make money that way or make money by getting hush money, which is the allegation here, that Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen, paid her $130,000 out of his own pocket to keep her quiet. Didn't really work because even though you have these non-disclosure and you're not supposed to do this and this, she ended up talking no matter what, hoping that she could make more money by writing a book or TV or make a movie out of it or whatever the heck it is. So here we are 6.5 years later, and nothing was ever done with that case because there was no there. It couldn't prove anything. President Trump wrote some checks to Michael Cohen. That's his attorney. Of course you write checks to your attorney. Were they to reimburse him for Stormy Daniels? Nothing to indicate on the checks that that's the case. No letters to indicate that that's the case. Is it possible? Well, of course, anything's possible, right? Now what you're getting is that there were never any charges brought on that whatsoever. Now that you got this attorney Bragg is saying, well, wait a minute, maybe we can do it this way. Maybe we can get a grand jury and say that these were unreported campaign donations, and that's a felony, and we can go ahead and bring that along with falsification of records and all of the rest. Most of what they're talking about is a misdemeanor. He's hoping to kick it up to a felony, and the object apparently is to keep Trump from running or to dirty him up or to keep him from serving if elected. But this is the first time in history this has ever happened. Isn't that embarrassing? I mean, we now have two things that are the first time in history it's ever happened. And there should be media outrage. There ought to be outrage from every citizen, as far as I'm concerned. You show up with FBI agents at Mar-a-Lago? Roger Stone, exact same thing. You show up with FBI agents in the dark of night, and you happen to notify CNN that you're doing this, or you show up at the Catholic guy who's a pro-life activist, SWAT team, long guns, and all of the rest. He's found innocent, incidentally, later on. And I think the legitimate question, especially when you have the Catholic priest thing, and Ted Cruz, I don't have time to play it for you, but trust me, I'll get around to it eventually. Ted Cruz taking Merrick Garland to task along the lines of, you sure you don't have other real, like, crimes out there going on that might be significant, like police officers being killed or buildings being burnt down during 2020 with Black Lives Matter and Antifa? Remember all those prosecutions? Oh, you don't remember those prosecutions. That's right. Those prosecutions never happened, did they? That's your FBI. All right. So this is where it gets interesting, I think. And I hope he's right. I have a lot of faith in Elon Musk. He has proved to be so much better than I ever anticipated. Democrats and liberals hate him because Twitter is no longer, you know, their mouthpiece. Oh, no longer going to tamp down on a story about Hunter Biden's laptop? Because wouldn't that be a valid question? You have enough agents to go down and raid Roger Stone and this Catholic activist, but did you assign any of those agents to start looking through the laptop of Hunter Biden, see what you got there? Transactions with foreign countries or smoking crack? I got a thing here I can play for you one of these days. It's a clip of Joe Biden talking about how we need to crack down on crack, something just the size of this dime I'm holding in my hand right here. It's a split screen, and the other half of the screen is his son smoking crack. Remind me again of all the charges that have been brought against Hunter Biden. This article is talking about Elon Musk. It says former President Trump will ultimately end up back in the White House if he is indicted by Manhattan prosecutors, Elon Musk predicts. So you agree with him? Is that wishful thinking? It's wishful thinking on my part. It's certainly what I want to see happen. I don't know if it's, you know, realistic or not, but let's go on. Quote, if this happens, Trump will be reelected in a landslide victory, comes from Musk in a tweet. He didn't say that because that's not what Elon Musk does. He tweets things, and he did that in response to President Trump on Truth Social saying that illegal leaks? What? Yeah, illegal leaks from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, Alvin Bragg, indicate that he, Trump, would be arrested on Tuesday. Musk predicted shortly after Trump announced that over the weekend that he expected to be arrested Tuesday. If it happens, he'll be reelected in a landslide. Do you think that's what's going to happen? I mean, there was a Fox segment where they were going on to talk about how Trump could be potentially cuffed, fingerprinted, processed, escorted into a courtroom, law enforcement and Secret Service discussing logistics and security preparation for how the arrest might go down and the potential for unrest. You think Ray Epps is there? I think John Sullivan is there. You got your Black Lives Matter Antifa type, John Sullivan, who was there right there videotaping inside the Capitol when Ashley Babbitt, unarmed, was shot and killed. Nothing ever happened to the guy who killed her. You think you got Ray Epps involved in this, trying to incite some people to do something provocative or violent if this happens to Trump? This whole story comes down to who do you trust? And do you have trust in a prosecutor in Manhattan who has said previously, apparently, that one of his goals as a prosecutor is to find something he can charge Trump with? That's your goal in life? That's at the end of the day when they write the little, you know, obituary in the New York Times or the local paper, is that he was famous for making a prosecution of a 6.5-year-old case against President Trump. Highlight of your career? I thought your name was Bragg. I didn't know it was Vidman. making a big deal about. I mean, think about that phone call and what's happened in Ukraine since the time of that phone call. Trump, you know, is this is a weird time. I guarantee you, and I haven't heard from anybody who texted, but I guarantee you that there are people out there who are saying, and they're Republican people, and they're not necessarily rhinos. The rhinos all believe this. In fact, there was such a telling story when Josh Hawley was going to go after Christopher Wray and hold him accountable for all kinds of stuff, that Mitt Romney had been the person apparently beforehand who'd been asking some questions, none of which were noteworthy enough to even bother posting. I see Josh Hawley starting to ask his questions to Christopher Wray, and I see Romney folding up his notebook and walking out of the room because he doesn't care to know. He doesn't care to know. He doesn't care to know how inept is the best you could say, or corrupt is the accurate thing to say. The head of the FBI, and the FBI is under the Department of Justice, which is Merrick Garland, and how corrupt they are. And I want legal process in this country to be equal. I don't want Lady Liberty, you know, the justice there. She's got the blindfold on and she's got the scales there. I don't want to see Merrick Garland, you know, poking out from behind her with his finger on the scale over here. And then Christopher Wray with his finger on the scale over here. And now this guy, Bragg, with his Alvin Bragg with his finger on the scale over here. We should be the laughingstock of the world. And yet somehow I think that there are people in other countries who are like, oh, well, finally. Except there, you know, there are other people in other countries who are protesting like crazy in France, out in the streets, protesting against Macron. Pakistan, same thing. Protest up in Canada. They don't show you that, but down in Brazil as well. If you think the United States of America is the only place where people are sick and tired of the way things are going, it's not. And if I were a communist, I'd be telling you, power to the people, and this is really the people rising up, and it's time for all of us to organize as communists and to dethrone all, well, not dethrone, because that's not the case anymore, but get rid of all these people and put a good proletariat into power. But none of the people in the streets are saying that. None of them. I mean, maybe there's a handful somewhere. But majority of those people are just sick and tired of being treated the way they're being treated. And whether it's Macron, Trudeau, Biden, ignoring them and doing whatever the hell they want. All right, I'm done talking. I'll get your responses when we come back. Phone lines open, 719-715-0740, 719-715-0740. You can text it in. If you want to check in on this, you need to do it now, because at the bottom of the hour, we're going to switch over and talk to former Mayor Lionel Rivera and get his thoughts. So if you want to check in on Trump in cuffs or this prosecutor in Manhattan, right now is the time to do it. You're on 740 KVOR.
Good morning, Dr. Randall.
Morning.
This weekend, I watched a Rob Reiner film called Shock and Awe, and it's the 30th anniversary of that campaign. I'm sorry, the 20th. And I loathe Rob Reiner, and he truly is a meathead. And the movie's the story of the Knight Ridder media conglomerate, and they crap all over the lies told by Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, and the Bush administration in general. Now, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have touched this film thinking, you know, damn liberals, and I hate them. But it's weird because I watch that movie now, and I can believe every word of it because our government, you know, things have completely changed. All of the institutions that the left used to hate have now embraced them and co-opted them and militarized them. And here's what scares me. They are going to wreck the systems, all of the systems under Biden, and under the bus goes Joe. But what matters is what emerges from the ashes. And those who are truly in charge, although cloaked, and they've been very careful not to reveal themselves, they're terrifying.
Yes.
And the only way I know I'm right is because no one at DOJ and the FBI, as two examples, is acting like there's going to be any accountability. I'm really terrified, man.
You should be. And so let me ask you a question, because I'm pretty sure I know the answer, and I think the answer is the same as me. So if you had to say one individual that opened your eyes so that you could see that what was going on with Iraq and the run-up to it and the war and all of that and the agencies and all the rest, is there one individual that opened your eyes?
You mean based on their behavior as an insider?
No, I just mean Donald Trump is Donald Trump
is a media
is,
person like yourself.
No, not me. It's Donald Trump. I mean, I was all in. I mean, I was certainly
sure.
all in on Afghanistan, but we did so well. It was so fast. Everything went so wonderful in Afghanistan. Might as well go in there and take care of Iraq, and it didn't turn out to be so dang quick. But I now look back in hindsight, and Trump was right. We don't need to be in perpetual wars. We don't need to be in building democracies and all of the rest of it. And so I look back on a lot of this stuff. I haven't seen the film you're talking about, but not much would surprise me anymore with regard to our government.
Let me just say one last thing. I would say, yes, I would give Donald Trump complete credit for this, but not in 2015, 2016. I would say the way things have evolved most recently, which validates there is a deep state. There is a bureaucratic bunch of unelected, a cabal that is seeking to take him down. My concern, if there is this arrest, which I think is, I don't think this is going to happen.
I don't know.
My concern would be that they frame some kind of MAGA rescue party. Oh no, things went badly, and they JFK Trump. I'm really worried, because there's no point in photographing him in a jumpsuit, fingerprinting him. I mean, he needs to be taken out. And I tell you what, people have made the point that all this is going to do is steal the resolve of MAGA and make fence sitters firmly in the yard of Donald Trump. 100%, because I hated how Trump was going after DeSantis. Dude, I'm all in on Trump again.
Yep. But we are so like-minded. I mean, if you and I were consultants and Trump were sitting here, both of us would be telling him the same thing. Back off DeSantis. We don't know what the hell is happening. Maybe we can work it out so that you do 4 years, he does 8 years, but you are not helping us or the country or anyone else when it comes. I mean, thank you for the call, Griff. We are so like-minded. I got to tell you, twin brothers of separate mothers, I think it is. Lawrence. Hey, Lawrence, you've got an event coming up. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me on. Todd Wood. I run CD Media, CDM.press, and I'm an 86 Air Force grad, a former Special Operations helicopter pilot. We have an event Thursday night in Sea Springs, and we run these around the country. They're called American Conversations. This one is going to focus on the attack on the U.S. military and our children. We have a lineup of amazing guests, Dr. Ryan Cole, who's been bringing out all the information of the turbo cancers. We have the head of STARS, Dr. Ron Scott, who is really going after the CRT in the military. We have just a great lineup of guests, one of the pilots who is suing United Airlines over the vaccines. So you're going to have your eyes opened as to the DOD running this entire program and going after targeting our military members. So if you want to come, go to armedforces.press/event. You can come in person or do the live stream, but we're really trying to wake up what's going on at the Air Force Academy, which is nefarious. We just had two cadets die under really not good circumstances. We can talk about that, but anyway, we're trying to wake the world up and really go after DOD for what they're doing to our military.
Hey, Todd, do me a favor, and I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Ryan's going to pick up the call, and he's going to get your contact information, because this is important, and I would like to have you back on again probably tomorrow and talk more in depth about this so that we give plenty of attention to this on Thursday night. I would hate for anyone to miss it, either in person or online, so we're going to go ahead and do that. As for what Griff was talking about, I think it's absolutely true. I think your eyes get opened sometimes by things and events that take place. No insult to anybody if I say that you've been static in your beliefs for your entire life. I haven't been. My beliefs have changed on a ton of things. I was a big supporter of W. And I worked hard for McCain. I worked hard for Romney. I was not a big supporter of either one of them, but they were the candidates. They were the Republicans, and they were certainly better than the alternative. So I worked hard for them. But as time goes by, I do think that Trump opened the eyes of a lot of Americans on a lot of things, including and especially the agencies. But there were other brave people out there. Elon Musk is a brave person to be saying the things that he has been saying over the past year or so. You look at, you know, James O'Keefe. He starts Project Veritas, and then they kick him out of the organization that he started because they said he was mean to somebody or he might have taken somebody's sandwich. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. He's starting a new organization. In fact, we'll tell you a little bit more about that after Lionel Rivera. But there are brave people out there who are working hard. And I have to tell you, I believe they are risking their lives. They wanted to shut up James O'Keefe. Here, we shut you down from Project Veritas. No more of these videotapes of people talking about how they were manipulating the virus or how they were using baby parts because they wanted to buy a Lamborghini. No more of that stuff. Boom, he's back. He was supposed to just go away and be quiet. I believe he risks his life by coming back. I kid you not. We'll take a short break. We'll talk with Mayor Lionel Rivera. We come back. All right, so this is the way it goes. We have Mayor Steve Bach on, and I'm a big fan. You know, and I'm proud to say, I think I've gotten along with pretty much all of the mayors. Some better than others, but I got along with, I didn't know him very long because I wasn't here long enough to know him very long, but I got along with Steve Bach and Bob Isaac, the rest of them. We're calling and reaching out to Lionel Rivera right now. So let me take a minute to talk to you about Barb Schlinker. I'll be talking with her tomorrow. And Barb Schlinker is somebody who makes sure that if you're a seller, you've got all kinds of options to choose from. And the main thing, though, is she sits down with you. You agree upon a price. And if she doesn't get you the price, she makes up the difference to you. That's why it's called Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. And Barb's been in this market in El Paso County and Colorado Springs, all up and down the Front Range for the past couple decades. She knows what the market is like. And if the question is, but Richard, the interest rates keep changing. We had this bank fold out there. She talked about it last weekend. I host a show with her. I'm the host. She's the real estate voice. But she talked about all of that exactly last weekend. She is on top of the very latest when it comes to all of these things. Looks out for you because your home is your biggest single investment normally for most people in their life. Give her a call, 719-301-3900, or Barb has the buyers.com. Mayor Lionel Rivera. I was just telling people, I think I got along with everyone, some better than others. I didn't really know Mary Lou Make Peace all that well, but welcome to the program, and we're bringing you on because we had Mayor Bach on, and I think it's only fair for you to have some time to talk about endorsements if you're making any in this election. Welcome aboard, former Mayor Lionel Rivera.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Good deal. So what are you thinking about this election?
Well, you know, it's been unbelievably 12 years since I was in office, and I enjoyed my time as a mayor. I'm out here in the city of Colorado Springs like everyone else, and love the city, want to see it grow. And really, for me, I'm just like any other citizen. I want to feel safe when I'm at home, and I want to support public safety, make sure they're funded, make sure they're growing to meet the demands of a growing city. That's probably my number one priority, and it's my candidate's number one priority, no doubt. You know, I want to see our roads taken care of. I want to be able to drive back and forth to work, to church, or wherever I'm going, and knowing I have an easy route, roads taken care of when I go back and forth. I think that's great for our community and for economic development. I want a mayor who's going to understand the needs for affordable, attainable housing in our community, and knows how to partner with the private sector and the nonprofits to help, you know, create that opportunity for more of that to be available in our community, and really just housing in general, for more housing stock to be built, because I really think the more homes you have available, the chances are you can keep the prices lower. And I talked about roads as infrastructure, but another big part of infrastructure is our long-term water supply. So I want a mayor who's experienced and knows how to bring more water supply here for our community, and it's protected because we as citizens want to feel comfortable that we'll have water available for us now and well into the future. And my candidate to do that is Wayne Williams, because in my opinion, he has all the experience. I worked with him when I was mayor back in the first part of my first term in the mid-2000s to put together the Pikes Peak Rural Transportation Authority. That was passed, that was placed in front of the voters. They approved it by 55% then. Wayne was probably the key leader in the county commissioners. He and I worked together with the city staff and the county staff to put that together, put a list of projects together, put it in front of the voters, and they approved it. And now that's been reauthorized twice, which much greater percentages. So to me, Wayne has the experience, knows how to get things done. He's proven that. And he is who I'm endorsing for mayor.
What do you think his biggest strength? Because we're in a situation, I try to not BS anybody. I'm pretty sure that we're going to have a runoff election here with 12 candidates. I've endorsed Lajinas Gonzalez. I feel very comfortable with that endorsement. I think we're probably going to have a runoff election, which for people who are new to Colorado Springs, that's not shouldn't be big news to them, because we've had that in the past. We've had that with John Southers and a couple of others as well. What do you think that the biggest challenge of just being mayor in terms of running the city, the office day to day is?
Well, you know, I think the mayor has to be, number one, a strong leader. He's got to pull together and work with the city council, the county commissioners, the surrounding mayors and city councils of cities in our area, because the problems that the city of Colorado Springs have aren't unique. They're the same as you go out throughout the county. So someone who's going to be a leader that can pull together the other leaders of the other municipalities and the county, the private sector, the nonprofit sector, because the problems and the issues we have are going to be dealt with by everyone. But you need someone who's going to be a strong leader to make that happen. And again, I think Wayne is the best position to do that. He's proven his leadership to me. You know, one of the telling signs for me was when he and I were working on the Pikes Peak Rural Transportation Authority. It's no surprise that both he and I are registered Republicans, although this is a nonpartisan election. We went out and asked the citizens to raise their taxes in order to build infrastructure. And that's just not something you normally would do. But to me, it proved that Wayne, like myself, we are going to do what we think is best for the city, regardless of whatever criticism that we get from maybe somebody who doesn't agree with us. And that's what it takes to run a city. You got to be a leader. You got to be willing to do what's right for the community and take whatever criticism that might come with it.
When it comes, we've got a headline over the weekend, clash among powerful developers, dark money groups dominate Colorado Springs elections, and it goes from there. It's the second, I think, big article that Mary Shin has written, but I see, and maybe I'm wrong on this, Lionel Rivera, a former mayor, and he was mayor after Mary Lou Makepeace and right before our first strong mayor, which was Steve Bach. I could be wrong on this, but boy, I see like a dividing line between, you know, people who are in favor of one water program, people who are in favor of another water program. Some of that comes down to how that impacts various development within the city and without the city, or I should say outside the bounds of the city, and whether there should be the allowance for annexing more projects closer to Fort Carson or Pete Field. You care to weigh in on that or the influence of any of the money? And in all fairness, some of this money is going to Sally Clark from some groups. Some of this money going to Wayne Williams from other groups. I would refer people to the story yesterday in the Gazette. Your thoughts on all that, Lana Rivera?
Well, when you run for office, you need support from your supporters, whether they be developers, not nonprofits, they're not going to contribute, but individual citizens, they're going to support the candidate they think can best serve the community and be a leader. And when it comes to water, I live in Colorado Springs. I want to make sure that there is water for the citizens of Colorado Springs, and I'm a citizen, for me and the community first before we worry about the county. Yes, in the past, even when I was mayor, we helped county water districts because of the drought. We were able to facilitate that. We always made sure we took care of the city, and then we helped out the county, and they paid for the water that they got from us. You know, one of the things Wayne did while he was on city council is work with Bent County to basically acquire 13,000 more acre feet of water for our community, enough for 100,000 more people. So Wayne has the experience to take care of the water issue. And yeah, there will always be dividing and different opinions on what the city should be using their water resources for. And like I said, first priority is to take care of the citizens of Colorado Springs and make sure they have a good water supply. And then if you can, and you, we have the reserves to do it, then you help out your neighbors. But first you take care of the citizens. And the city council passed an ordinance and set a guideline on what has to be available before we annex additional property into the city of Colorado Springs. But, you know, that's a city council ordinance, and that's subject to interpretation and the views of whatever council gets elected. So we're going to have four new council members elected this coming year. They're going to have their views on what the right level is and what the right ordinance is, and what mayor is going to weigh in on that. So that ordinance is something that will be reviewed constantly by the city council, who is also the utilities board. And I think that's what needs to happen. That the needs of the city of Colorado Springs will change over time, and there may be the ability to partner and help out our neighbors and also continue to annex and grow for the city. But again, that's a case-by-case basis, and there will always be interest by people who support mayoral candidates, and they will have different opinions. I would encourage the citizens to make their own decisions, do their own research, because you see these commercials on TV, and you really have to dig for the facts yourself in order to make sure you have an educated vote.
We're going to be hearing from Mayor John Southers a little bit later on. Like I said, I don't BS anybody, and I've got to ask you this question. And it dovetails to something that Steve Bock said that actually stunned me. And the difference between you and Steve Bock, you were still under the mayor city manager system. He was the first new strong mayor. But he said in the first week that he was in mayor, he got two phone calls from very prominent and different entities, two separate calls, but they were both similar insofar as telling him, not asking him, but telling him that they were going to be meeting with him on a weekly basis to set the city's agenda. Does that surprise you, or is that something that went on, you know, during the time that you were there or the time before?
That surprises me that someone would call the mayor and tell him they're going to meet with him and set the city agenda. No, that never happened while I was the mayor, and I would say that's unusual. But there were always people in our community, business leaders, nonprofit leaders, that called and wanted to meet with the mayor and talk about what they thought was important and to offer their suggestions on how to help the city accomplish all those. So, no, it's not surprising that someone would call the mayor and ask to meet with him. Certainly it's surprising to me that someone would call and tell the mayor they're going to dictate to him or her how they're going to run the city. So, yeah, that's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, that was the red flag to me. You know, if it had been asking, hey, could we meet once a week or something? But the fact that it was two different entities telling him that. Let's move on. Final question, because I'm trying to keep the time fairly close. We've got four people, as you said, council. Three of them, I believe, are going to be at large. And then one is to fulfill a Stephanie Fortune and her. Do you make any recommendations when it comes to city council, Mayor Lionel Rivera?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, I serve on the Government Affairs Committee of a business organization here in town, and we endorsed three at-large candidates, and one for the district, and so those are available on the Apartment Association of Colorado Springs website. I encourage folks to look at those and see who we endorsed. We think they're the best candidates for the community. They're level-headed, they're smart, they're business leaders, they're community leaders. And I would suggest that you check out that website and look for those endorsements.
You've got it. Thank you so much. I'm running late, as always, and I went over a little bit time-wise with you, but that's fine. We try to be fairly close on this. That's Lana Rivera. Good to hear from you after all of this time. Glad to hear that you are doing well, and good to reconnect a little bit with Lana Rivera. Maybe talk to you going forward. I think it'd be helpful for us to talk with former mayors about things that are going on. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll get reaction to what I was talking about a little bit earlier, and that was President Trump, the possibility of him being arrested tomorrow, or is this just stuff that is put out there to rile people up? And I got to tell you, I've been doing what I've been doing for a long time, and I could brag about all the awards I've won and all that sort of thing. Trying to separate the truth from the myth, from what people want you to believe, from the distraction. It's not easy. I want your reaction. We come back on 740 KVOR. Richard Randall, hey, let's take a minute and be a little bit light here, because I kidded around about the Sebring 12 hours and auto racing and all that. But I think it's a valid question, Ryan Kaufman, and that is Denver, and it's front page news, and so I don't want to ignore it. There's a ton of other important stuff, but how big a deal is it for Denver to be having part of the NCAA tournament going on there?
I would say a very big deal. Yeah, I mean, only so many places get a host, and the fact that it's probably the most exciting, I mean, more prestige, obviously, to host the NCAA title game, which I don't know that Denver's ever going to do, but to be able to host the first couple of rounds and all those upsets and stuff, and from all accounts, the crowd was great. I was just watching Mark Few, who's the head coach of Gonzaga, in his post-game press conference last night, and he talked about Gonzaga's been to Denver a few times in the NCAA tournament, and they love coming to Denver.
Wow.
So, it's a big deal. It's something that only comes around once every, I think they're on a normal cycle now, so every 3 years. Comes here.
Whoa, it'll be here every 3 years. That is cool. Gonzaga, quick, I can't help but mention this because apparently they may have some interest in the Big 12 if it's still around or whatever. But Pac-12, I'm sorry. When I was getting ready to go to law school, you're looking at a list of all the schools. I got accepted by four, and they were top tier, top 20 schools. The easiest law school to get into was Gonzaga State. Nobody even knew where the hell Gonzaga State was. For all we knew, it was in Seattle. It could have been in Washington. Could have been anywhere. A basketball team, right? Has that not brought a ton of notoriety to? Are they noted for anything else?
No. No, they're not. I mean, the basketball team has put that college on the map for sure.
Wow. All right. Let's go to text messages here. Get back to business. I'm sorry. Every now and then, I think we need to lighten up a little bit as well. This one goes, it's not Romney does not care. It's that Romney is fully informed and probably complicit. That's probably right, because I was talking about Josh Hawley. And I got to tell you what, I am so impressed with Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and the balls they have to go after a sitting head of the FBI, a sitting director of the Department of Justice, and they humiliate them. They go after, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm a brave person, I guess. I've lived a great life. I don't care if something happens to me. All you people want to give death threats, I just don't give a damn, okay? I have had a great life, so just make sure that you aim well. But I'm talking about people like Cruz and Hawley. Seriously, they're messing with some very, very important people. 2 points on Donald Trump. No other president has ever been so thoroughly vetted. No other president has ever had so many legal and investigative efforts aligned against him and come out the other side free and clear of any wrongdoing. People may not like Trump because of the media, how they direct things towards him and how they try to get people to feel or his personal style, but there is no legitimate stink on him. His enemies cleared him after exhaustive efforts. Has there ever been a more squeaky clean presidential candidate in history? He did not bang that whore. She is gross. That's my favorite part. Because out of everything, you can accuse him of doing a lot of things, but man, gentlemen, all you, that's, we're going to run a poll here. I'm not going to post any photos. An unofficial poll. I think her name is McDougal Playmate over here, Melania here, and this thing over there. Men, tell me, would you even, that's probably not appropriate. Ralph in Black Forest. What do you have this guy talking about? Religion? I listen for news, not this stuff. Boy, I'm not even sure what that was. Something from TikTok. Couldn't get there. I am going to bring you some TikTok tomorrow, though, because found a great bunch of stuff from conservative Republicans, black and minorities. And you find them on TikTok, you're not going to find them on mainstream media. So hearing Jeff Smith will be the acting strong mayor for the Springs. Guess this means Williams will be working for Smith. Very interesting development. Have to admit Jeff Smith will not be a puppet. And then a couple more, don't have time to get into them. We will be back here tomorrow. We'll know a lot more about all of the presidential stuff, and we'll talk about the mayoral race as well. You don't want to miss it. 8:30 to Bongino.
Get the man cave you want. Go to buildyourownbasement.com by J&J Construction, Inc.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.